John chapter 1. Thank you again for letting me be here this morning and this evening. It is an honor. It's a privilege. And I mean that. And I thank God for your pastor and the power of God that's on him. John 1 and verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Notice that. Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth, notice the word findeth, it's scattered all through verse 35 to 51. Findeth. I'll get back to that in just a few minutes. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered, notice this next phrase. This kind of goes with the special music before I preached here. Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Can I let you in on a good secret? You already know it probably. If you've been saved, the Lord came looking for you. Amen. Amen. I mean, he knew you before you knew yourself. He loved you before you could love yourself. He cared for you before you knew how to care for yourself. And he said, I knew you. He said, I saw you before this day. That's what verse 48 is talking about. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, or Master, thou art the Son of God. Notice the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Don't forget that phrase. He just recognized him as the King of the Jews. That was his Calvary name. Before Calvary, a lot of things was going on. You know, God had a plan for your salvation. God had a plan for all of us. In verse number 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, or amen, amen, or truly, truly, I say unto you, henceforth, the Bible said, or hereafter, ye shall see. The Bible said, heaven opened, the angels of God assembling and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. All through here it's scattered, Son of Man, Son of God. And I want you to see this morning, as I preach this morning, the most popular pessimist in all the world. The most popular pessimist in all the world. You'll deal with this. If you're a soul winner, you'll find people that really can't settle on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are around hospitals very long, and you ask people about their soul, they'll say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I hope that I've lived good enough. I hope that the Lord will take me to heaven. And a lot of people, they struggle with doubt. And this is that old doubter. There were two doubters in the Lord's ministry. One was at the beginning of his ministry. That was Nathanael. The other was at the end, and that was Thomas. But in both cases, God deals with our faith. And I want you to listen this morning as I preach about that, as we see the gospel from the very first time. This was like the first time in the New Testament that really we can undersee the Lord Jesus making sure everybody was headed toward a gospel plan. And just like the first Sunday of the new year, 2015, we need to have our minds and our hearts set on the goal of getting people saved and finding those who need the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, bless, I pray. Use, I pray, the message. Thank you for the time that we have together. Bless Sunday, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, he asked. I want to deal with your faith and your belief. So many people, as I mentioned a while ago, they wrestle with their doubts. I can't preach on all 51 verses, but every verse, every 51 verses have something dramatic and dynamic in them. By way of introduction, let me give you just a few things that would set the pace for verse 44 to 51. First of all, you'll find that this chapter was such a great historical chapter in that we all call it the chapter of Eurekas. They found something. The Bible said it findeth or found in verse 41, in verse 43, in verse 45. He first findeth his own brother. The Bible said, has found the Messiah. Jesus findeth Philip. Philip findeth Nathanael. and we have found him, meaning Jesus. A second thing about this great chapter, it was a chapter of testimonies about Jesus. You'll find John the Baptist in here testifying that Jesus was the revealer of God. You'll find Andrew testifying that Jesus was the Messiah, or is the Messiah, or Christ. You'll find Philip in this chapter testifying that Jesus is the fulfiller of the New Testament. I have verses for all of them, but dealing and dating back to the Old Testament, he mentions here in John 1, 43 and 45, the Bible said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law had," the Bible said, "and the prophets did write." You'll find Nathanael testifying here, as we read a while ago, that he was Jesus, the Son of God and the King of Israel. You'll find also that this great chapter 1 of John was a chapter of the Lord's invitation. It was the Lord that asked them, "What seek ye?" It was the Lord that said, "Come and see." It was the Lord that urged them. Peter too said there, as we read a while ago, "Come and see." Come and see what? Come and see the one who reveals the secrets of the heart. Come and see what? Come and see the one who answers all doubts. Come and see the one that causes darkness to be illumined and despair dispelled. Come and see the one that gives freedom from the imprisonment of sin. Come and see the one that offers liberty to the fettered slave. Come and see one who allows the ruins of the poor to be transformed to the happy home. Come and see one that transforms our dens of lust and the rebels of obscurity to be changed to believing Christians. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it wonderful that God can change everything about you, everything you've ever known about? Come and see. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus, or Philip said, "Come and see." Come and see. You see, there are all types of classes of people that have followed Christ throughout the ages. Some want to see him for just out of curiosity. Come to see him with no motive, just to be around Jesus. And that's why you're here today. Amen. You heard that Jesus would be a part of what you're doing today. And he is. Amen. Some of the past in the Bible we found came for those fishes and loaves, you remember. Some followed him to get to a friend to him. Some might have followed him to be able to talk with him, and others to question him. We know that's in the Bible. Some came to find a fault in him, and we know that's there. Some just to see him. Others just to be seen of him. Some for what he was to them, and some just to get a blessing, to be there for the blessing. There are people here today that I question why that they're here. The Bible said, "What seek ye?" That was the Lord asking. What seek ye? Why did you come to church today? The first day of the new year. There had to be some wonderful reason. There had to be some urge and urgency of reason. Was it to get a blessing? I would say, my friend, in a crowd this size, those who came for a blessing might be a small number. There might be a lot more vacant seats this morning. Was it because of curiosity? Why did you come? Did you come to see and be seen of someone else? Did you come because of a parent? Did you come because of a wife or your children or family or friends? Why are you here this morning? Some come to gratify someone else. Some come to be entertained or to entertain. Why are you here? What seek ye? What brought you here? Well, I hope it's because you came because you wanted a blessing. Amen. I hope it's because you came because you wanted to see what the Lord had for you in your life. I'm glad today that God can change everything about us. This was a changing chapter of several of the most popular people in all the Bible. It had happened right here. You believe the Bible, don't you? You believe God can change even those who have been a part of the gospel before we even knew them, my friend? What an unbelievable thing here. Hey, not only that, this is a chapter of amens. Did you notice in verse 51? The Lord said, "Verily, verily." You notice he said it before, not after. This is the only book of the Bible where the Lord says a double verily, or amen, amen, or truly, truly. You see, the Lord amened himself. Every once in a while I'll preach and won't get a response, and I'll just amen myself. Well, I said, if the Apostle Paul can amen himself, I can. But the greatest thing about the Lord is he was knowledgeable enough and he was God that he amened himself before he said anything. We amen ourselves after we say something. The Lord amened himself before he said something. And he did it 25 times. 25 times in John's gospel here. The Holy Spirit's trying to tell us, amen, amen. The Holy Spirit's trying to tell us what the Lord just said was the Lord's language. Jesus amened himself. You see, my friend, Jesus was the amen. He's why we say amen. In the book of Revelation and the Apocalypse, you'll find that even John amened himself. He said these things, the Bible said, saith, amen, faithful and true witness, the beginning, creation of God. Oh, those are great things to say amen about. I'm so glad, my friend, that we have someone we can amen about. The Bible also said in this chapter that it was a chapter of what the Word was and who was the Word. What the Word was and who was the Word. The Bible said he was in the beginning. What was he in the beginning? The divine Word. He was before all things. By him all things consist. Without him we would be nothing. We'd have nothing made that was not made by him, the Bible said. The Bible said in this chapter that he is the Word, not was, but is the Word. In him was life. What life? The Word of life. The Word was the light that we escaped from our blindness. You see, in the King James Bible, he is, not was, the Word. And my friend, we don't have the received text. We don't have the received Word. We have the preserved Word. It came right straight from God. It's not accepted, but it's believed and proclaimed as God's holy book. It came to us, my friend, as God's spoken word. And that's we're still here today to proclaim it, just like he said. And then, my friend, the first chapter is a chapter of the greatest phenomena in all time. It talked about his creation. God did something he'd never done before. He came in the flesh. Why did he do that? Because you were on his mind. I was on his mind. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, thank God, my friend. The Son of God, the Bible said, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. He willingly became flesh, the God-man, God in the flesh. He became our mediator. He was the one that bore our infirmities. The Bible said he tasted death, and he was tempted without sin, and to forgive every sin debt, by the finished work of Calvary. Thank God for that. Another great thing about the chapter, first chapter of John, is that it proved our Lord's baptism. It was a chapter of our Lord's baptism. John the Baptist was a Levite. And Jesus asked John, which was his cousin, six months older than he was, that he baptized Jesus, the anointed priest, king and prophet, the Messiah. Can you imagine baptizing the Messiah, the one that was prophesied over all those years, and here he was baptizing him? As a matter of fact, Jesus walked 70 miles to be baptized of John. If you need to be baptized this morning, he's a great example to follow, just like the choir sang about, amen. Follow his lead. Do what he tells us to do. Dr. Lee Robinson used to call it beautiful believer's baptism. Beautiful believer's baptism. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove, and the Father was well pleased. I want God to be pleased in what I did for him. Yeah. Baptism won't get you to heaven, but it'll sure make you have a clear conscience that what you did was right. Yeah. And so it was right here in this chapter that John baptized him. And by baptizing Jesus, it was an announcement and an introduction of Jesus. John 1:34, the Bible said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. And the last thing about this great chapter, my friend, is that it was a chapter of a voice crying in the wilderness. Oh, John. John was the Lord's forerunner, and he was getting the Hebrew ready for Jesus. It wouldn't be the law anymore. It would be grace in the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad he included me too? Aren't you glad he included you too? The Bible said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law, the Bible said, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive, the Bible said, the adoption of sons. Thank God for that verse in Galatians. Well, I have this morning as my subject three questions in this chapter. Three questions in this chapter that would reveal to us the most popular pessimist in all the world. Because he ends up, the Lord didn't make any mistake. He didn't just throw Nathanael in here. After all the greatness of chapter one, then he gives us the story of Nathanael. And I want us to notice this morning, are you still with me this morning? Say amen. You see, Nathanael was the name of Bartholomew, the personal name of Bartholomew, and one of the 12 apostles. And he's never mentioned anywhere else other than the fourth gospel here in the book of John, where he was introduced to Jesus. And so I want you to get the first question found in verse 46. Look at verse 46 and underscore the first question. Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now let's review up until now these verses. Philip said, "Come and see." After that, John baptized Jesus the next day. Then Andrew, his brother, and Peter wanted to see Jesus to follow him. And then I believe both of them got saved. Check out the results of Pentecost and Peter. Amen. I believe right here in this one place and one happening, I believe both of those men got saved, Philip and Peter. It's just my opinion. But the day following, Jesus found Philip. He found Philip in Bethsaida in the city of both of Andrew and Peter. And then Philip found Nathanael and said, "Come and see," just like Jesus said. "Come and see. See Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael was doubtful at first, skeptical, and probably wanted to see Jesus for himself. And then when he saw Jesus, he said, "Can any good thing come out of Israel?" He might have laughed at his own joke. Philip might have thought it was a little funny, but Nathanael might have thought it was a little funny, but Philip told him to come and see. Come and see. So he finds out before this interview was over that Jesus was the Son of God, the King of Israel. He confessed that Jesus was Christ by his crucifixion name, called by that title when he was nailed on Calvary. So what do we see here? That Nathanael was never associated, and Jesus was never associated with him other by Philip. They knew Christ. And Nazareth was an obscure and an ill-repute town that they would come by in the trodden valley every once in a while. And Nazareth was the birthplace of Jesus? No, the Bible said in Micah 5 and 2 that that Jerusalem would be the birthplace of Jesus. And in Matthew 2:23, the Bible said that he dwelled in Nazareth in Galilee. So what do we find out about a pessimist so far? A pessimist pre-concludes before the problem is proven. A pessimist uses sarcasm to cover his stupidity. A pessimist is remembered by his negativism more than his faith, instead of his faith. And folks, I would say to us this morning that you can crowd an eternity into a moment and believe Jesus, or you can stretch a moment into an eternity and reject Jesus, when the Bible said in verse 51 that if you'll trust Jesus, heaven will open. Heaven will open. What a great chapter, and how he dealt with this believing Jew, but not a believing man of faith of Christ. I want you to notice the second question. Look, please, in verse 48. Verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Whence knowest thou me? Israel was the title that a Jew loved to hear in respect more than any other place. It was God that named Israel their name. It was God that named Jacob Israel. Think about it. And that's the most respected name in it, even today. If you go to Israel, I mean, that's one of the highest pleasing names that you could ever give a Jew, is Israel, because of what the Old Testament has been in the past for them. He asked, "How do you know me? Whence knowest thou me? How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "Nathanael," he said, "Behold an Israelite," first of all, "behold an Israelite indeed, whom there has no guile." Have no guile. In other words, he had a sincere heart. and he didn't have any hypocrisy in him, had no guile, no place in his heart. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 32 and verse number 2, blessed is the man in whose spirit is no guile. Blessed is the man in whose spirit is no guile. You see, you may fool God, but you may fool man, but you can't fool God. What's in your heart right now? How do you treat people? Why do you treat people the way you treat them? The Lord saw right through Nathanael, and he saw that he was a good man. And he knew his heart. And he said, a man of no guile. You see, he was trying to maybe revert back. We're going to get to the end of the chapter in a minute. You can kind of look at some of the reasons why I come up with this. He said there was no place in his heart. Nothing like an old Jacob full of guile. Because you understand, my friend, the patriarch Jacob ran away from home because his brother Esau wanted to murder him because he stole his birthright. And the Bible said he's full of guile. Full of guile. But the Lord looked at him and said, hey. And by the way, Jacob found out he couldn't run from Bethel. He thought he could leave God in Bethel. There are a lot of you folks that treat church that way. You come and you get your spirituality at church and you leave God at church. Can I tell you, my friend, church will change your life. Amen. Well, you can take God right along with you. You don't have to leave him right here. And Jacob found out that Bethel was where it changed his mind and changed his life. Let me give you the last question posed by our Lord. Would you look, please, in verse number 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee that I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Believest thou? The Lord asked that question to all of us. If you're here today and you're not saved, why don't you listen to two words? Believest thou? Would you live your whole life without Christ and die and go to hell that way? Or would you listen to the Lord when he asked the question, believest thou? Would you let someone assume that you're saved and you know you're not? And by the way, I'm not here to make you doubt. If you were really saved, I couldn't make you doubt. Amen. I'm not here to get you lost. The Holy Spirit does that job. But I am saying, my friend, if you've never known you were lost, you've never been saved. Amen. If you've never known you're a sinner, you've never been saved. A man must come to the realization he's lost, he's a sinner, and he's on his way to hell without Christ. And if you'll do that, my friend, the Lord will be your Savior, just like he wanted to prove here to Nathanael. Nathanael, are you believing me because you saw me right here under this fig tree? Or are you believing me because I am truly, truly the Son of God? And that's what God wants us to come to the realization with. Nathanael, if you believe me, then you'll see greater things than you ever saw under this fig tree. Possibly Nathanael was there because he's religious, a devout Jew. Maybe he was studying the Word of God. Maybe he had thoughts. Maybe he was praying. Even our Lord prayed many times under that type of situation. The Bible said that he found himself frequently praying for his disciples under a fig tree. So I don't know about you, but maybe this was the instance that the Lord had to give an illustration for. I do know this, my friend, that God dealt with him there. Look, please, if you will, in verse number 50, if you will, please. Jesus said unto him, because I said unto thee that I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Look, please, in verse 51. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter the Bible said, ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, and the Bible said, upon the Son of Man. If you go all the way back sometime and study Genesis 28, you'll find the story of what we call Jacob's ladder. And Jacob's ladder, there was a dream. Jacob dreamed that he saw a ladder extending into heaven. God at the top of the ladder. Do you know what he saw at that ladder, at the top of that ladder in his dream? He saw God revealing himself as, I am the Lord God. I am the Lord God. But then you'll find right here that he's saying it again. Ascending and descending, the Bible said, ascending and descending from heaven, the Bible said, and the angels of God were doing that. Notice the last phrase, upon the Son of who? Man. I would say to you, my friend, God was at the top of the ladder. That was in heaven. The Son of Man was on earth. The Son of God was in heaven. And there's that ladder. And who was in between? The messengers, the angels. I would say to you, my friend, nobody can get to heaven. You'll never be able to get to heaven but by Jesus Christ. If you couldn't trust what he said here on earth, you'd never be have a place in heaven. And he said, I'll open up things that you'll never, ever understand again, and you'll never any other type of blessing more than this. In other words, he was trying to say, I am the way. I am the way. John said it again in another part of the scriptures of the Gospel of John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me ask you a question this morning. If Gabriel came down to this building tonight, like he was the one that announced Jesus as the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. If he could come to here tonight and you had one thing you could ask for that he could take back to God and ask for, that he could take to Jesus and ask for, if there was one thing you could ask him for, what would it be for? I don't think if you had one question before that you could send to God, I don't think you'd be asking him for a new car. At least I hope you wouldn't. I don't think you'd be asking for a new house or things. I think there'd be one thing on all of our minds if we could ask one question and send it to heaven. It would be that of eternal life. The severity of our soul is this. No man can see heaven without Jesus Christ. No man. We make so light of what Jesus meant in the Gospels, but Jesus is our salvation. He's the only way. All of these men, Philip, and Peter, and Andrew, and Nathaniel, they found Jesus. Right here. They found Jesus. And they believe what John said. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. They didn't start finding Jesus till John said, here he is. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus there the day John said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world? No, he was gone. The Bible said the next day he said it. Jesus was there the day before, but not that day. I'm saying to you, my friend, they didn't play peekaboo around the corner. Hello, are you over there? When he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, I want you to understand, my friend, we don't have him here in the flesh. But we have him here in the Spirit. Amen. What did Jesus say before he went away? He said, I leave with you my Spirit. My Spirit. What is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is Christ's invisible presence. Amen. By his Spirit. By his Spirit. So one great thing happens when you get saved. You don't get some of him. You get all of him. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. All of that was introduced right here in this chapter. If you could boil it all down, it would come down to John 3:16. The gospel in a nutshell. John said, here it is. God sent his Son. He died for our sins, that you might have eternal life. But while he was here, he never sinned one sin. He never thought one impure thought. But he set his face like a flint all the way to Calvary. It behooved Christ to suffer. He had to suffer. And he was the only begotten, the only one of his kind, the only one who could have died. What happened to Philip when he heard that? He said, Rabbi. What happened to Nathaniel when he heard that? What was the first thing out of his mouth? One word, Rabbi. Master. They knew that they were talking to the real one, and someday we will. You have to trust him right now by faith, not in doubt, but by faith. I have a dear friend right now that's passing over to the other side. My mother has been told that her sister doesn't have 24 hours to live. The one man is my neighbor back home in West Virginia. He calls me to his bedside all the time. He's been sick for years. And he wants to know how to go to heaven every time. And I assure him that if you'll just trust Christ by faith, that God does all the saving. He does the hanging on. You don't have to hang on. Amen. We didn't get saved by grace. We got saved by grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not going to slip in. We're going to get there. That's right. That's true. And I keep trying to tell him these things, and he keeps saying, oh, do you think so? I said, I know so. Heaven's not a hope so. Heaven's a know-so. And I'd show him verse after verse after verse, but he just can't settle the doubt. You know what the Bible says when you can't settle it out? You've trodden underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. Take in contrast to my mother's sister, my Aunt Helen. She's going to heaven real soon. I'm glad I'm here for the family. God knows best, doesn't he? But she told the doctor, I don't want to be in a hospital. I want to be home. I want to be around my friends and my family. And she said, I'm ready. All things are settled. Do you have folks over there? You know why they're there? Because like the song said, he came looking. He didn't want you to doubt. He didn't want you to wonder. He didn't want you to think, I hope. He wants you to know that he is truly the Son of God. And you can trust him as your personal Savior. Shall we stand, please? Our hands. Oh, Nathaniel, I hate it for him, don't you? He had to live with that on his record the rest of history. And we still look at it as old pessimist Nathaniel. Now, I like to tell you today, I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. I'd like to think I'm an optimist. I kind of shoot gun barrel straight and let you know what the Bible says, but I'm not a pessimist. You can take this to the bank. This Bible says, or you can burn it. You can go to heaven if you get saved. You can believe it. You can trust it. But you have to do it by faith. Not mine. Not the pastor's. Not your best friend. You, because he came for you. Just like he sought out under a fig tree, Nathaniel, he's here today looking for you. If he were alive in the flesh right now, believe me, he's alive. But if he were here in the flesh, he'd come up, tap you on the shoulder, and say, it's time. Let's bow our heads. Pastor.